is going well with you today, and that the Lord Jesus is leading you and guiding you into all truth by His Holy Spirit. So thank you for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. We are here 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening on WMIE 91.5 FM, 10:30 of a morning. We're on WWBC 1510 AM, and it would be greatly encouraging if you would tell somebody about this, if this program, if it is a program that speaks to you, if it's a program that offends you. It would be a great blessing if you didn't tell anybody about that. just kidding there. I kind of like to throw in some lighthearted humor from time to time, generally on days that end in Y. But we are in John chapter 8 right now. My name is Bob Arthurs, by the way. I pastor Merit Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. We would be greatly honored if you do not have a church home and you visited with us to see if God would have you to worship with us and help us in our objective of being a blessing to those in Brevard County, because God has blessed us. That is what we are striving to do. And so I was talking about that. We just launched that mission statement here. We've been presenting it for a few weeks, but just the official launch here in the past few weeks. And so I was talking with someone about that, and they said, you know, that really doesn't sound like much of a stretch for us, because that's what we are. And I said, well, the thing is, that mission statement is supposed to reflect who we are organically. You know, a lot of people look for an organized event. Christians do events very well, but it's really that day-to-day operation, that day-to-day living that touches people's hearts. They want to see consistency. In a world filled with inconsistencies, the world is desperately looking for someone who is the same, and no one is better at that than Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we are blessed. I tell people all the time, this is where I came from. You know, it was a place of lack. It wasn't a place of abundance. It was a place of rejection, not a place of acceptance. It was a place of poverty instead of a place of blessing. But we're not in those places anymore. We're in a position now to be a blessing, and that's what we want to do. So we are in John chapter 8. We're looking at some of the desires that people have that that cause them to want to eliminate God speaking in their life. And so we're in John chapter 8. I'm not going to read through the entire passage again today, but I will read a portion of it. In verse number 37, Jesus said, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham, but now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. So we talked about yesterday that people seek to remove Jesus from their life, from their sphere of influence, from even being aware that he's existing, because the word has no place in them. There was a time in America where you could go about, and if you were having a discussion with someone, you could say, well, the word of God says. And you can still use that, but I will tell you that decades ago, when you said the word of God says, people would respond differently than they do now. Then they would say, oh, well, I didn't know that. Many times people, if you told them, well, the Bible says, or the word of God says, it gave enhanced credibility to your perspective in their eyes. I'm not saying anything about when we say that now, that we have less credibility. The word of God is still the word of God. It still says what it's always said. It's always credible. But the people that we are ministering to now have a hostility to the word of God, and so they do not give that statement the same merit that they used to give it. They've rejected the word of God. And so they have a hostility to people who are messengers of the truth. Now, Jesus tells them, he said, I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have seen your Father. And he goes on and he says, look, Abraham did not do what you were doing. He said, you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. So he says, you do not believe me. I got it directly from the Father. Therefore, you are calling God a liar. There are a lot of people who want to say, well, I believe that God is good and all of that, but I don't really buy into everything. I don't believe that Jesus is the only way to the Father, the way, the truth, the life. I don't believe any of that. Well, you can call him a prophet, you can call him a good man, but if you call him a liar, you have undermined both of those other arguments. You might call him deranged, but you don't listen to a person who is not in their right mind. You don't listen to them the same way that you listen to someone else. And so we've got to accept what Jesus has to say. Look, we need to accept what Jesus has to say about himself. We need to accept what Jesus has to say about our spiritual reality. We need to accept what Jesus has to say about our spiritual responsibility. We need to accept what Jesus has to say about heaven. And we also need to accept what Jesus has to say about hell. You see, I know it's a popular thing to believe that everybody's dying and everybody's going to heaven. It's just not true. Because Jesus told the story, not a parable, he recounted to them the story of a rich man who died and went to hell. Okay, if everybody's going to heaven, how'd that guy end up in hell? Well, hell is just a construct of fear and intimidation by the religion. You're saying that about Jesus. That's what you want to say. You undermine the messengers of truth. It's kind of like now that people say, well, you've got to believe the science. Okay? You've got to believe the science. Don't doubt the science. And so when you bring up to them the science of the fact that that's a baby actually living inside the womb, well, that's a distortion of the facts. No, it's not. The science is actually validating what the Word of God has said, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Well, what about your identity? Well, the Bible says, well, I don't believe that. There are people who are trying to say, believe the science, and then when you confront them with the science, you you suddenly find that they are not such an advocate of science because they don't want the truth. Listen, Jesus says, I told you the truth. You know, then there's that old line from the movie, you can't handle the truth. People can't handle the truth right now. They don't want to hear the truth. They want someone to tickle their ears. They want someone who will tell them and affirm the things that they already believe because that's where they are getting their self-esteem. I've been told that people are actually, they receive a psychological benefit whenever they say something and people agree with what they say. Okay? And it creates almost like an addiction. So there are people who are addicted to games. There are people who are addicted. I tell you, I have to watch myself because I can be a news addict if I'm not careful. So that's one of the reasons why we don't have television in our house. I don't want anything dominating over me. But if you think of that as an addiction type mindset, you disagree with them, or you say, well, that statement isn't quite true, all of a sudden, you have deprived them of their psychological fix. And now they've got to do something to get the positive affirmation that they so crave in their life. Listen, it is all about cravings. So temptation that the enemy uses is he tries to get you to crave something, to long for, to lust for something that is destructive in your life. If it's not destructive in itself, it will destroy other healthy things inside of you. That's why it's important that everything is done in balance. Jesus goes on in verse number 42, he says, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Now, I will tell you that it is the goal of the communicator, the goal of the speaker, is to impart understanding. If there isn't any understanding, then the communication has been unsuccessful. Jesus is the world's greatest teacher. He is the world's greatest communicator. And it was evident from the way that he spoke and the crowds that he drew that he was very good at what he did, but he still had people that he spoke to that didn't understand the things that he was saying. And he said, the reason that you are not able to, the reason that you do not understand my speech is because you are not able to listen to my word. You're not able to listen to my word. You know, if you were to visit a foreign culture where a different language was spoken, the key to understanding them, the key to communicating with them, is you have to listen to them. You have to find out what language speaks to them, how they understand. If I went to a foreign country that no one spoke English and I preached in English all of the time, you know how many people I'm going to win to Jesus? None. So Jesus said, you are not able to listen to my word. Now, I shared this on yesterday's program. I'll share it again today. And that is this: the word of God is spiritual. There are a lot of people who approach the word of God from an intellectual standpoint instead of a spiritual standpoint. And if they don't understand it intellectually, then they are deprived of the spiritual benefits of that word. But when we understand that we have to receive it in our spirit, then when we have it there, it begins to impact our mind. It renews our mind. It changes our way of thinking. It is so important for God to work in our hearts and our minds to change the way that we understand. And that change can be instantaneous. Just what is it that I need to think differently? Now, I will tell you, I do not have this perfected. I just don't. There are times that my head gets in the way of my spirit, and it probably happens to you as well. We have to say, okay, what is the Holy Spirit have to say? And so the Holy Spirit is charged. God, the Holy Spirit, has the responsibility of guiding us into all truth. So when you sit down to feast on God's word, it is very important for us to say, Holy Spirit, would you come and would you teach me today the things from your word that you want me to know? It's very, very, very important. He's a phenomenal teacher. Okay? Jesus says in verse 45, but because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. So we live in a society right now where anybody can make a false accusation against anyone. And then if you say, well, that's not true. And they say, prove it. Prove it. How can you prove a lie is a lie? How can you prove that something that is fabricated has no... You cannot justify yourself. Instead of the burden being upon the person who's made the accusation to... prove that their accusation is true, our society has flipped it on its head and say, well, the accusation is true until you disprove it. And this has been going on all because they do not have the right perspective when it comes to the word. There's a lot of people who have the wrong perspective on the law and the Constitution, but it's even more dangerous when it's the wrong perspective on the word of God. And I will tell you what a minister told me one time when I was standing in Melbourne Square Mall's food court. And I ran into him and we were talking about end time events. And he looked at me and he said, Bob, the word of God has got to come to pass. Prophecy is going to come to pass. And it's like, it is. And so when you see that in the last days that they are going to mandate who can and cannot buy and sell, you can see some of the groundwork being laid for that already in our society. Where if you do not believe this, which is contrary to the word of God, then they're not going to allow you to do business. If you do not acknowledge this falsehood, if you do not propagate this social talking point, then all of a sudden you are going to be marginalized and put out of business. And all of that is laying the groundwork for what Revelation talks about, and it will come to pass. It will come to pass. Now, I want to encourage you in this. Be ready. Be ready. Now, God is your provider, not the world. God is your peace, not the world. And I want to encourage you to develop the patient endurance that God wants the saints to have, that no matter where we fall in the end times timeline, that you're ready. Now, I believe that God spares his children from the wrath of God. So I'm a pre-trib rapture guy. That's what I am. The church is going to come and he's going to make a way of escape for us, because you don't discipline the obedient children the same way that you discipline the disobedient children. I'm very comfortable with that. Other people have different views. I don't want to argue about it. I can understand some of their perspectives. Some of it is a little strange for me. But the truth of the matter is, it's going to be what it's going to be. And so I need to be ready should Jesus come for his church today. I need to be ready for that. And I also need to be prepared that if my understanding of the Word of God is wrong and we endure some serious persecution and hardship, then I need to have the patient endurance to say, you know what? I'm not going to compromise the Word of God. God is going to take care of me. So with that in mind, let me just say this. If you are not accepting Jesus right now when it is easy, do not deceive yourself into thinking you are going to be able to withstand substantial societal pressure to conform or die. If you won't do it when it's easy, you certainly won't do it when your life is on the line. So, because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. So if we refuse to prioritize God's word in our life, if, you know, people that they've told me, Pastor, I can't get out and go to church, but I listen to the word of God on the radio all day long. And they're getting the word of God poured into them. Praise God for that. You know, and I pray that word makes a mark in their lives and every area of their life. But if you are never attending church, if you are never listening to the Word of God, if you are never reading the Word of God, if you are not making room for God's Word in your life at any point in time, be careful. Because you may be deceiving yourself, thinking that you have a relationship with God that is a 10, and it might not be even a 1. You say, but I prayed a prayer. That's great. But being a Christian is not about an event. Being a Christian is about a lifestyle and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I came to Merit Assembly of God because of God's word. I will take that one step even further. I came to Florida because of God's word. Even though I came here as because of my retail career, The opportunity, the invitation to come, came as a result of my wife fasting and praying for God to speak. And so when the invitation came and I called her and said, honey, I need you to be praying. They have offered me a job in Melbourne, Florida. And we need to hear from God. And that's what I told him. I said, look, I'm going to need to pray. I'm going to need to hear what God has to say about that. And well, how long do you need? You know what? 24 hours will be sufficient. I'll call you back tomorrow. And we heard from God. Now, I will tell you this. Many times when we've heard from God, it's looked like a step back because we took a financial hit when we came. We took a decrease in salary and an increase in rent. Our salary went down several thousand and our rent doubled. And our space was a fraction. And I think we ended up with one fewer car and our car insurance was more. It was a challenging time. And then when the company goes out of business a year and a half later, you'd better know that you've heard from God. Hearing from God is not just about the merit. Hearing from God is revelatory about our relationship and God's sovereignty in our life. Jesus says, "He who is of God hears God's words, therefore you do not hear God because you are not of God." Every believer should have an indispensable, precious relationship with the Word of God. Find a Bible that you can understand. There are so many different translations that are out there. Find one that you can understand. And then don't just settle for that. Instead, continue to increase. Say, you know what? This is not the finish line. This is the launching pad. This is the launching pad. The more influence the Word of God has in our life, the more that we realize that God's Word is perfect for us to speak to us in our situation, the greater impact it's going to have, the higher quality of life we're going to have. It is going to be absolutely wonderful. Wonderful. Let's dive into the Word of God. Let's have a hunger for the Word of God and let's feast on it, because God is the Savior of my life. He's the Lord of my life. If anybody's Word needs to influence my life, it's Him. And I pray that it'll be a Word of influence for you as well. So we pray that you have a great day today, that the Word of God is something that you abide in, that you have a hunger for, a thirst for, and that God will speak powerfully to your life. If we can help you in any way, give us a call at 454-4263. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."